everybody, and welcome to the Box Out Boys podcast. We are the NBA podcast of the people, your home for lukewarm takes and substandard analysis. I'm Titus Two Shots Dominguez, and join me tonight, it's Chris, the stats man Gorman. Hit him with the stats, Chris.
Titus, in these playoffs so far, the Miami Heat have averaged 7.7 steals per game, while the Celtics average 5.7 steals per game. Now, you might not think that's a big difference, just those two steals, but the team who has won the turnover differential in each game are undefeated so far in this series. So handle the ball or steal the ball and you win the game.
It's a big deal. Also getting those buckets for us tonight. It is the Lon Boss, Joy Makrowski. Get that, Joe.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Box Out Boys.
There he is. He's got his master's voice ready.
Ooh.
Even though
a couple months late,
there it is. I think
PGA Championship just happened.
PGA just
Joy
happened.
Block. Right.
Here. Locked it. We're locked in on golf over here. Adam is not with us tonight, but he will be in spirit as he's editing the show later. So as it's getting to your ears, the reason why it sounds so delicious is because our boy is pulling the strings in the back. Well, we got a fun show for you tonight. We are going to prematurely preview the finals because no team has ever come back from 3-0 down. And the Celtics forced a game five, so technically, we couldn't do our full-on finals preview because the Heat haven't actually won. But we're going to have a little fun with that anyway because I kind of want to invite the chaos of prematurely previewing the final and then maybe getting a game seven. Who knows? We're going to talk about who has been the playoff MVP, Jimmy or Jokic. We're going to talk about our favorite series so far of this year's playoffs. Going to debate who's more of a team, Heat or the Nuggets. And then we're going to talk about some Bulls season highlights and lowlights as Joey brings us his top five moments and down moments from the season. And then I believe he says he'll have five more next week. So stay tuned as our Bulls boy keeps us
reminding gotta tease it. Us. We got to tease it.
Got to tease it.
It's been long enough. We can start to talk about it again.
Yes, we can start to deconstruct the Bulls season that was. But let's start with the season that is in front of us. The Denver Nuggets have punched their ticket for the first time ever to the NBA Finals in a sweep. As if you're watching the stream, Joey's name this week is LeBroom. LeBron gets swept out of the playoffs for the third time, I believe, is what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nuggets look great. Miami, one win away still. So let's start there. The inevitable matchup here of Miami and Denver. Chris, let's start with you, man. What are your thoughts going in? Who are the key players? Who are going to be the X factors?
Miami, we want to go that deep?
Denver. Yeah.
Let's dig it in. Bruce Brown. Well, if we want to talk about X factors, it's Bruce Brown, right? Ever since I called him out on this podcast a couple months back, he's really been stepping up for this team and taking it to the next level. But another stat I want to point out is the Denver Nuggets are leading the NBA playoffs in turnovers, as in fewest turnovers, at 10.3 per game. And that is a huge factor, not turning the ball over. The theme of this pod, I feel like, as opposed to every basketball game, is turnovers and steals and the fact that the Miami kind of just play this rampant style of they're not really a team. They're just kind of a crazy group of eclectic players who are all undrafted, apparently, right? And like Caleb Martin is outperforming Jaylen Brown all of a sudden. So that series is going to be insane. But it's going to be if it's Nuggets Heat, it's over in five games. I believe. I think we're still severely underrating Jokic. The numbers he is putting up. Nobody wants to. He's a
god tier
top five center. He's a top five center. By far. The only reason they don't like him look like that, because he's not 7'2", you know, and he's not that athletic. He's just this 6'11", you know, European dude just dropping 30, 15, and 12 every game.
It's
so
unbelievable what he's done. I think he had a triple-double in every game of the Lakers series, right?
That is correct.
Except, was it every game? No,
he had a triple-double.
I think he had it every game, didn't he?
He had 24-6-8 in game three.
Oh, okay. Except, I know he had averaged a triple-double, so
he's still averaging one.
So Bruce Brown's your X factor. We're still underrated Jokic 5. I'm kind of with you on that, but let's get Joey's take. What do you think, Joey? Does Miami have the horses here? Is Jimmy the guy that can do this? What do you think?
I think Miami has the horses. The problem is their horses are like thoroughbreds, and the Nuggets horses are like Clydesdales. Hashtag Budweiser.
All right. Okay. We're going to get canceled for that one?
This buzz for you.
No, we're not going to get canceled. We're going to get boosted.
Boosted.
We're going to get boosted. I don't know. You can't please anybody. But
yes, it's true.
No, so like I think Chris made a great point that, you know, Caleb Martin, the likes, you know, the Gabe Vincents of the world, we're going to say all their first names and last names. Duncan Robinsons.
Duncan Robinsons.
The Kyle Lowrys.
The Jimmy Butlers.
The Jimmy Butlers. They all, I think, can hang with the role players, and I mean, they are role players on the Nuggets because there's one superstar on that team. Jamal Murray is a 1B, but
yeah, 1B.
They can hang him, right? I think like Jimmy and Jamal could go, you know, shot for shot.
Yeah.
And then down from there, you could probably find a matchup that everybody can kind of hang with. But Bam against Jokic doesn't seem like a fair fight at all. And Bam has played really well in the Celtics
series.
Yes,
he has.
He's played very, very good.
Bam's been insane.
But the way that the Celtics big guys play is very different than the way that Jokic plays. And Bam is a much better interior defender than he is out on the top of the key. I mean, and we saw what Jokic did to Anthony Davis, who I think we all would agree is a better defender than Bam Adebayo. So he made him look silly. He was hitting fadeaway, falling over three-pointers in his face multiple times, absolute daggers against him.
Had AD shaking his head the whole series, just like,
yeah. So I think it's 5. I think 5 is a realistic number. Would I be surprised if Miami got 2 games in the series? Not at all. Like if they won 2 games at home, it wouldn't shock me. But any more than that would just be an absolutely unbelievable run. I mean, they've already had an unbelievable run, and if they somehow push the Nuggets to, you know, 6-7 or even won that series, would just be, it would have to be one of the greatest underdog stories you could ever write in sports. That, I mean, especially too, like we forget that they got blown out by Atlanta in their first play-in game.
Yeah.
Like that's completely forgotten at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
they're the 8 seed because they lost.
Like they came in against the Bulls and we were all like, hey, I mean, they just got blown out by Atlanta. Like
the Bulls were up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're gonna be down on their luck. They're gonna be all upset, and they've now ripped this off, and it's been unbelievable.
I mean, you guys are right. It's been a wild run, which is why, like, I'm with you guys. I like watching these games. My eyes tell me the Nuggets are going to do this in 5 games max, and that this should be a fairly comfortable series for them. Yeah. But I'm at the point where I don't really doubt the Heat for some reason. I'm just like, I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know how they beat Milwaukee. I don't know how they are going to beat Boston. But they did it, and so it makes me a little bit nervous, the fact that I'm so confident in the Nuggets. But every time I watch Jokic play, and I think Joey just hit the nail on the head, Boston doesn't have a guy that can do what he does. And that guy, Jokic, is going to absolutely tear Miami apart. And Jamal is going to go shot for shot with Jimmy, or at least, you know, hang with him a little bit. So I think there's a sort of a neutralization there. And then they just don't have an answer for Jokic, and I don't think anybody has an answer for
Michael
Jokic right now.
Porter Jr. is 6'10", and they're typically the Miami Heat's 3 guard when it's not, you know, Kevin Love plays 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So if it's not Jimmy Butler can't guard MPJ the whole time, then you got Strus. You got, I was gonna say Max, but that's his name, Max Strus. Yeah. You got Gabe. You got Caleb out there. It's all 6'5" of him guarding 6'10" MPJ. Maybe MPJ is more of the X factor of the series when I think about it. If he has a great series, the Nuggets are going to win this handily.
Yeah. I think the Nuggets role players, the Aaron Gordons, the MPJs, you know, if those guys show up, the KCPs, if those guys show up, it's going to be a wrap, because Jokic is going to do what Jokic has been doing all freaking playoffs, man, which is just triple doubles and ridiculous shots. So,
Go ahead. I just realized the Heat will have home. Will they have?
No, Nuggets have home court.
Oh, that's right. If it was against the Lakers, the Heat would have had home court. Wow, that was a stupid thought.
That would have been wild. The Heat had a really dumb.
Well, I was about to say, so like Jimmy in the, this is a stupid take, but whatever, people talk about all the time, the elevation change in Denver, right? So like,
yeah.
Is that going to affect the heat at all? Is that going to affect someone like Jimmy?
No, 8% body fat, right? So
yeah, but body fat, they're right at sea capacity. Level
there in Miami. So
right. And someone change. Like Jimmy, who's playing like 45 minutes a game, like
yeah,
that's going to be tough.
Yeah. That first game, those first two.
And their style of play is balls to the wall. And that's how they play defense. Right. And it's always on, it's always active, and they're flying around to the ball. So that could be something to watch. Maybe that's the X factor. Elevation change.
It could be something. It's definitely going to be an interesting, because I think if so, to me, like Nuggets, it's weird, but it's a must win in game one. You got to go set the tone right off the bat. Like, hey, no, we're not the Celtics, man. So yeah. I think if they come out, win game one, I think that'll set the tone for them.
As long as they don't fall for the, I kind of find it funny that Spoelstra keeps doing the, Miami goes into a zone during the second and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And Boston couldn't figure it out. But I feel like Denver, because they have such a great flow to their offense, would be able to, you know, slice that up pretty quick.
Shooters, and Jokic is going to be a nightmare for that zone. Yeah.
Jokic in a zone is absolute feast.
So, yeah, I guess our premature finals preview is that the Nuggets are going to win this handily. Now, all right, let's let's have some fun here. Let's say Boston does the unthinkable, comes back from the 3-0 and wins this series. Does it change anything for you guys, or do you still think it should be the Nuggets to...
Yeah, it'll be Nuggets in a sweep. Yeah,
I was literally going to say it's Nuggets in four.
Four.
Wow, we are really in sync right now. This is great.
I would still go like Nuggets 6 or something like that. I just feel like, I don't know, Celtics, you can't rattle off 4 and do a comeback like that and then just...
That's fair. There's just been so much negative press I've been reading about, like how
the Emeka thing and
the Celtics players are done pretending to like each other anymore.
They're like faking that they're buddies. I saw that too.
It's like and you just look at, because on the surface, like 24-year-old Tatum, 26-year-old, they're all around the same age, right? So you think like, oh, they'll get along, but sometimes personalities don't clash. Jaylen Brown's a big thinker apparently, and sometimes that gets old quick.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I kind of hope the Celtics just wrap this up so that maybe Jaylen Brown will actually leave and go to another team.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting.
That would be nice.
What were all our picks last week? I forgot. I had Nuggets in 5, right?
Yeah, you had Nuggets. I had Nuggets in 6.
6.
I took Lakers.
I took Lakers.
In 6.
No. Wait, do we all have Miami in 6?
No, I took Celtics in 6. So yeah, you guys are right now. So
it had Miami in 7.
Or
Miami in
7. Maybe did I say Boston in 7? Maybe I said Boston in 7.
I said you had Boston, LA. Me and Joey both had Nuggets in Heat.
You know what the thing is? A great joke I heard going around too is that it's not Celtics Lakers because the writers are on strike right now.
That is a good one.
So the underdogs took over the script.
They took it over.
Yeah, I just saw Carmelo. I know he just retired to. Yesterday, but he was catching a lot of strays from the Nuggets going to the finals or something about that.
What timing?
The team that drafted him, and then the team that he last played for are going.
Well, it's crazy that him and Jokic have the same number.
Yeah, that was crazy too, because they're like, whose number are they going to retire?
Yeah, it's like, why are people saying Carmelo? Like, do both maybe, but Jokic, if Jokic wins the finals, like, it's not a question. The title,
2-time MVP. I think whose number you retired.
Did Carmelo ever win MVP? I'm pretty sure not. Right?
I don't think he did.
Yeah, he's kind of the most overrated player that people like to say, oh, don't forget about Carmelo, he was so underrated. No, he's not. He was actually just a scorer. He was always a negative for his team.
I think he was rated appropriately.
Yeah,
maybe was underrated, overrated. I think he was just...
After was all rated, those swings, he kind of just rated. Had like this line that's like, you know what, this line right here is kind of where he should be. Yeah.
Regression to the mean. Player. I think that's fair.
He's top 25, sure.
Top 25. Yeah. He's a top 10 scorer all time. He's crazy.
Yeah.
Got Melo.
Hoodie Melo.
All that's right, well, let's talk about some current greats going on right now. I quoted this here for our second question as the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, Jimmy versus Jokic. One, I don't know if you guys had a take on who is the unstoppable force and who is the immovable object. And then... who has been your finals or playoff MVP and looking forward to the finals? I think this is going to be the ultimate matchup. People are going to be talking about Jimmy versus Jokic. What does that mean? Can Jimmy drag his team to, you know, a couple of wins? Can it, or a finals championship? Can Jokic finish this amazing runoff where they've only lost three games in the whole playoffs and one was an overtime game to Minnesota? So, Joey, what do you think here, man? Who has been the playoff MVP so far?
Yeah, I kind of want to say that last week when we talked about who's the one most likely to drag their team through, and we all really said it had to be, it was Jimmy, like it was no question about it. And I kind of argued that Jokic couldn't be the guy dragging. Yeah, I think that got flipped on its head pretty fast this past week.
Yeah, it did.
Because, like, Jimmy's still getting the headlines in Miami, but he hasn't been the best Heat player in that series. Like, it's a, I don't know if you could, like, pinpoint a single player, but it's like a combination of their undrafted superstars that they've found that have kind of done it. Like, Caleb Martin has been, I think, the scoring leader for them so far this series. And, you know, Jimmy's doing things when it counts. I mean, he got all the press for the game after Grant Williams talked shit to him and then went out and, you know, obliterated him in that fourth quarter. But
The timeout call.
Yeah, the timeout call.
That was awesome.
He's the sassiest person in the world.
Petty, man.
Pure sass. So it's a movable object and unstoppable force.
Of course, yeah.
Jimmy's the unstoppable force. Jokic is the immovable object. But in terms of playoff MVP, it has to be Jokic.
Okay.
It 1,000% has to. They don't sweep the Lakers without Jokic. Right?
Yeah.
Murray had his big quarters.
Yeah.
He had two massive quarters in this series that absolutely sealed games for them. But when they needed baskets down the stretch, when they needed plays made down the stretch in games where it was close, it was all Jokic, right? He hit the dagger with like 3 minutes left, the falling away.
Disgusting shot.
Like hop, skip, backwards, three-pointer. And then he hit that three-pointer in the same fashion from the other side of the floor and at the end of the third quarter. And like, was that game three or two or whatever?
Yeah.
But just averaging the triple-double and like, it looks effortless for him. And going up against what the Lakers had to throw at him, like it wasn't the greatest, but like it also wasn't scrubs. Like they weren't throwing. It was like they had Anthony Davis and everybody beneath that was just, you know, a no name guy. They had some success with some players, right? There were moments where Jokic was kind of stifled and he just found a way to fight through it every time.
And Hachimura thing.
Yeah. I mean, there were moments where they were like, hey, I think we figured this out against Jokic. And then it was like, yeah, you figure it out for like 6 minutes. And then it was just, over from there. So it's Jokic as the MVP. He won the Western Finals MVP. I don't know who's going to win it from the Heat if they wrap this up or when they wrap this up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it should.
For sure.
Right? It goes to Jimmy, right? But like,
and you just, like, oh, because you're
the guy. Yeah.
Like he's not scoring that many points.
No, he's not. Especially the last two games, he hasn't really been the main guy. It's been a lot of their role players. But what do you think, Chris? I mean, is there really any case for Jimmy right now? I mean, I know last week you could have made that case, but after the sweep and then after kind of the way Jimmy's been playing.
How much do you factor in like leadership and like personality and being that fuck you guy for the team, right? The Draymond, the Bobby, the Pat Bev, but it's coming from your best player. That's got to mean something.
It could be part of it too.
For MVP in the first, no, just like an impact. Cause I know we're saying like, he's not been the best, but
he's the reason why those guys believe that they can win this.
He had six steals in game one, three, two, and now one in games two, three, and four. The guy's been all over the place. He's the opposite of Tatum, where you always see him on the court, right? You always know where Jimmy Butler is. And if he doesn't have the ball, he has it in the next second there. So should look up his usage rating. But I think, Jimmy Butler has definitely just been unstoppable. And without him, no chance would be where they are, but obviously Spoelstra has been a huge case. Spoelstra because Strus got 30 points in the game. Caleb Martin's averaging 17, it feels like. And these guys are like, it doesn't make any sense why they're being this good. Yeah. So it's like, it must be the coach. And
Spo against Malone is going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That's two good coaches.
Oh, and when I think about, like, for a personality on Denver, who's kind of like, isn't Mike Malone? The coach is kind of like that FU personality guy, it feels like. Because they don't really have, like, a... I don't have like, a Jokic was even saying, like, hey, Embiid deserved the MVP. Like, you know, he's being the nice guy here. But Malone's like, you know, oh, they still don't talk about us even after we win game one or game two. So, I don't know.
I mean, it's player-wise,
fun to see the dynamics.
Yeah. It might be Jamal, actually, as, like, kind of that shit-talker.
He's the fiery guy.
He's a fiery guy, but he's not... I mean, he's not, like, to the level of, like, a Pat Bev or Draymond or anything like that. He's just kind of
there was a story that came out a few... Dude. They said, like... 4 or 5 years ago that they could have traded Jamal Murray for they called it like a superstar at the time, like a known name. They didn't name who it was, but I'm pretty sure it was Kyrie Irving that they could have traded Jamal Murray for 4 years ago, and they didn't. And obviously it's completely paid off.
this seems many years later.
Happy about
so
that.
So it's kind of cool to see that.
I mean, a few injuries aside, he's definitely back and looking good. So yeah, no, they look like they're in prime position here to go ahead and wrap this thing up and win a title. So I know I'm rooting for them. I don't know if you guys have like picked a side really. I know Jimmy's kind of near and dear to our hearts because the time he spent here in Chicago.
I think it's getting into five, but I hope it's a good series. I hope it could go 6 or 7. Like if I kind of hope Miami wins game one.
Yeah, like, that would be interesting. Oh like, man, hey, that would be interesting. I kind of hope it's like the Lakers series with the Nuggets where it's like competitive games, but then ultimately the Nuggets just do what they do and win the games. And it's kind of a shorter series, but a fun series. And I think you can see some moments from Jimmy. But I mean, if it's close and you got Jimmy and Jokic battling in the final minutes, God, that's going to be amazing to watch. So definitely a basketball sickos.
We shouldn't really discount how great this Miami run has been. They beat Bucks 4-1, Knicks 4-2. And that wasn't even that close of a series. And then they nearly swept Boston. And like they haven't played like an 8th seed, right? Like
it's just, yeah.
But we're still discounting them because we still see those names that we have to say the full first and last names of.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this has to end eventually, right? Like this can't. Yeah.
Well, this is now. What do you guys think about this? Because I think the No Dunks guys brought this up. But like, if there was ever a series that could flip from 3-0 to, you know, to a 7-game win for Boston, it's this one, right? Where the Miami's technically an 8th seed. You know, they really weren't a solid team all season. Could you see? Because I actually think this is going to go 6. We haven't really talked about
talent-wise, it should, right?
Yeah, talent-wise, it should. But like, I actually think that Boston is going to win Game 5 in Boston, and then Miami is going to do it in Game 6 back home. But I could see a scenario where you're telling me we're going to Game 7 in Boston, and I don't think that's too crazy.
Yeah. I'd like to believe that. I just, even when I was watching the game that the Celtics won because they had a huge run, the beginning of that game, it looked like Miami was in control and they were going to win it again. It just, when they Boston won that 38-23 run in the third.
Yeah.
But without that, they would have lost it. I just feel like Miami's been the better team, even though they don't really have the better players. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to go like that, but yeah.
What do you think, Joey? Is this possible that they could stretch
out? Yeah, I don't think it's possible.
You think it's 5?
I think you're assuming that, not assuming, but you're saying that Miami is truly the seed that they are, and they're really not. And I don't.
What?
They had a bad regular season, but they were teetering on the edge of getting out of that play-in like all season long.
Yeah,
and it seems like it just hit exactly when it needed to, and for some reason Jimmy decided to just become God tier of his own.
Yeah. He just went playoff Jimmy, man. That guy's unbelievable in the playoffs, man. You can't really argue with him.
It's wild.
But these series really haven't been that compelling as far as, I mean, obviously LA and the Nuggets was kind of fun. Boston and Miami has been fun, but it's good. It should be a short series. We all kind of feel that way. So let's pivot to our next question. What was your favorite series so far? I mean, what was the one you remember the most, the one you had the most fun watching? Chris, we'll start with you on this one, man. What was those series that kind of stuck out to you?
I went through all the series. Like, I looked at Lakers-Grizzlies. I love that series. But John Morant kind of got kind of a little weird, the drama. They still kind of beat up themselves, it felt like, at the end. And then I looked at Nuggets-Suns. similar situation where the Suns kind of beat themselves. It could have been a better series. It just wasn't. Lakers-Warriors, I had on the list, but the Lakers just really felt like a bigger, better team. And they had a lot of free throws, and it was just kind of like a referee-heavy series, in my opinion. I don't want to go through them all, so because I want Joey to speak to some. But my favorite was the Warriors-Kings.
All right,
just because we got a 50-piece from Curry in Game 7. And at least felt like maybe the Kings were going to win it. Like, even though you kind of knew they weren't, you know, yeah. It was just nice to see it, to see a team like the Sacramento Kings reach a Game 7.
Yeah.
And to go out like that, if you're going to go out in game in round one, that's the way to go out. So that was definitely my favorite series.
Took a 50 piece from Steph. That's actually the one that I had too. Joey, did you have a different series?
I actually had Kings Warriors too.
Yep. I think that was the best series of so far.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
how could it not be? Like, you had the new team on the block, all the young guys, never been there before, versus the veterans who have done it so many times. You had the home team going up 2-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, Warriors coming back, getting a big win, and then losing their next game at home, being down 3-1, and then rattling off three in a row. Like, it had all the drama you needed. It had everything, like, that we love about basketball. It was like, wow, the underdog is making this happen. It's like, oh, no, here's this team that always wins doing it. And then, yeah, it took a 50-piece from Steph to make it through, and just that was awesome.
Yeah, it was just a really fun series to watch. And I think the other thing that, I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I was invested. I didn't care who actually won the series.
True, yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like maybe slightly rooting for Golden State, but it was really like if the Kings win this series, I'm pumped for these guys. It's new kids on the block here saying finally win a series. If Golden State continues through, it's like, all right, hey, another chance at a title. We can see what happens. But yeah, that was just the most fun series so far. I mean, Suggs was only in the first round, but that was just a good time all around.
I think the only honorable mention, I'm going to speak to all of the series, I feel like, but the other one I wanted to call out was the Knicks-Cavs. Okay. Even though it was a 5-game series, I loved seeing that Jalen Brunson was just putting on a show. He kind of really came out.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, I mean, he still killed it against Miami. Just Miami was just that much better of a team. So I really think that, and you know, other than that, like, I'm looking at these series, like, even the Celtics Sixers, that went 7 games, but like,
yeah, it was kind
sorry, Embiid. Sorry, those. It's not going to happen.
I mean, that was definitely a fun game 7. You know what I mean? That one. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. That series for me wasn't too much on my radar.
I think I just watched, I think the Knicks Cavs was just on a lot when I was able to watch. That's what I caught it too much.
That was one I think I kind of skipped. Okay. I did not think that series was going to be very consequential, and
I thought the Cavs would.
Yeah, I thought the Cavs would.
Well, that's why I was watching so much, because I'm like, oh, the Cavs are a dark horse, and
yeah,
they couldn't do anything.
Nope.
They won as many games as the Timberwolves.
The Wolves. Well, we all came around and said Golden State, Sacramento, best series. Now, do you guys think? I mean, obviously, unless Miami and the Nuggets is an all timer, that's going to be the best series of the season, right? Kind of feeling that way?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Because, yeah, I don't think, I think this one with the Nuggets should be pretty quick too. So, all right, we got one more thing to debate here before we go to Joey's top Bulls moments and lowlights. Actually excited to see what you came up with. So who is more of a team here? Our fourth question tonight, Miami or the Nuggets? Joey, let's start with you on this one, man. Who is, I mean, obviously they both have their superstar, Jokic and Jimmy. Both have a solid role player, you know, vibe to them. But who's been more of the team in the series, and who do you think is more of a team kind of going into the finals, Joey?
Yeah, I feel like the best comparison I could think of is the Phoenix Suns. Ooh. To the Miami Heat from the year that the Suns lost to Milwaukee, where all season long and all postseason, we were talking about Phoenix is like your quintessential team. And like, you kind of discount it because you're like, wow, they just play such good basketball, but it's not very flashy. And it's not like in your face kind of thing. Like, they have moments where like Booker would go off. You'd be like, okay, there's Devin. And you have moments where Jimmy goes off. You're like, all right, there's their guy. But a lot of times it's just everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing their part. And I feel like that's kind of a similar thing. Like, Miami is the better, like, when you look at the definition of a team of like they have a player that fits every role that they need to perform on their team, right? They've got their three-point shooter in Duncan Robinson. They've got their go-to guy in Jimmy. They've got their do-it-all center in Bam. And then they've got this plethora of role players that they can swap in and out. They can run these zones. They can run all these different defenses and everything. And, like, that to me is the definition of, like, a good basketball team.
Yeah.
But that kind of goes against everything that, like, you know, we said, like, hey, they would lose in five games to the Nuggets. But it reminds me very much of that Phoenix-Milwaukee series. It's like they're going to have their chances, right? They're going to have plenty of opportunities where, like, you're going to really believe in them and they're going to be really in a game. And then it's going to come down to who has the better superstar, who has the better solo single player. And when you look at it, it's the Nuggets. And
yeah, was Giannis in that series?
Yeah. I still believe from the Nuggets side, like, it's Jokic, Murray, and then, you know, from there down, you're maybe getting, you know, Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. to have great games, but you may be getting absolutely nothing from one of those guys on any given night.
Yeah.
And that, to me, like, that's where the team dynamic falls apart. So, you know, for me, definition-wise, Miami's the team, but I don't know if that that necessarily benefits them in a series against the Nuggets.
True. Chris, is there a case for the Nuggets as maybe being the more complete team or better
team? Yeah, I was going to say both these teams are like the teamsiest teams that we have in these playoffs. Because they both built it in from the ground up.
Yeah.
You know, some through the draft. I mean, obviously, Jimmy went to Miami, but everything, and Aaron Gordon was the trading. Anyways, like, a lot of it was just like homegrown. It's been brewing for a long time. You've recognized these guys in these locations for longer than two seasons. But to Joey's point, yeah, Denver's bench is pretty thin. Bruce Brown and Jeff Green were the only guys that played in that game four. Christian Brown is their eighth man with Reggie Jackson plays. It's like, wait, why is Reggie Jackson playing right now? So really, they're only seven deep, and Miami's just got a herd of guys that just throw out. And, you know, they get steals, hit threes, and just before you know it, they drop 15 points. Cody Zeller, he's playing minutes. What is this? This guy's playing like 12 minutes a game and he's actually been productive for them. He doesn't score much, but, you know, he holds his own. So he takes those Bam minutes away. And, but from like when I just think about like a team, you just think about what the Nuggets have with their point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center. When you look at the Heat, who's the power forward? Is it Kevin Love?
Yeah, I think right now it's Kevin Love.
He plays 10 minutes a game. So then it's Jimmy Butler, but really he's not really a power forward. You know, Caleb Martin, the lineup is Strus, Vincent, Martin, Butler, Adebayo. That's a weird starting five or five man, but that's their best five man. So when I have to say who's the best team, it's got to be the Nuggets for me, just because when you need those five guys, especially in the playoffs, just that's you want those five of, you know, Jokic, Gordon, and, you know, all of them. So
I can see that. I mean, I think they're, like you said, Chris, probably the best. They're the teamsiest teams left in the, you know, the playoffs, and I kind of agree. I mean, Boston has a similar
Boston
team
too.
Vibe to
yeah.
it. Yeah. But, I mean, maybe that's kind of the...
I mean, the Lakers were literally put together like 3 months ago, right?
Yeah.
As far as, like, this is weird.
But maybe that's kind of this sort of the secret to success in this current NBA, you know, the way the league stands right now, is you got to have that superstar, but you also need to have, you know, that team feel to it. You can't just have one guy dragging a team to the finals or winning you a title anymore.
There's no shortcuts to winning.
Nope.
No matter what Kawhi Leonard did for Toronto a few years ago.
So, yeah, all right. We're kind of, you know, mixed there, but I think we both agree that they're both teams.
They are in fact teams.
That's great.
They are NBA teams.
But seriously, like, the Warriors, I'm just going through a list of champions. The Warriors, Bucks, the Lakers were the only, like, any LeBron team is kind of like, oh, I guess LeBron won. Okay. Yeah. But, like, the Raptors, the whole core was together for years.
Yeah.
And then obviously they made got Kawhi, big
yeah.
Yeah. And then the Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Spurs, Heat, the Mavericks. Like, it's always somebody who, like, they've been together for at least 5 years. That's why, the Minnesota trade was just so annoying, because it's like, oh, you can build something. And then when Anthony Edwards is like 27, they could be in that conversation to actually win the whole thing instead of trying to cheat yourself to win it right away.
Yeah.
And.
Like Echo Baron gave the future. Well, speaking of teams that disappointed us this season, Let's get into it. Joey, hit us with your top five Bulls highlights and top five Bulls lowlights from the season.
All right. So these are in no certain order. So next week after we do the other five, I'll then rank the 10 in my order of, you know, best to worst or whatever. So
nice.
We'll go positive and negative. We'll go back and forth. Okay. That's the way I've decided we're going to do this, because I can't do them all at once or I'll be really happy or really sad. Okay.
I like it.
All right. So my first top five, Alex Caruso making the All-NBA defensive team.
Oh, all right, yeah.
I think that's a big positive from this year. You know, with Lonzo being down for the whole season and, you know, them kind of being the anchor of the defense. Io not coming around as expected to be your lead point guard. Caruso definitely had to step in and take a lot of that load for a decent chunk of the season. Played through his normal injuries, but still played really well and, you know, got recognized for it. And the Bulls had a very good defensive rating this season. They played much better defense, I think, than we all would have expected them to do. And I think a lot of that came from someone like Caruso kind of doing his thing. So, you know, big nod for them. Definitely their really only award or star kind of moment from the season, besides DeMar getting an all-star nod, which I don't think was necessarily warranted. But yeah, Caruso, all-NBA defensive team, team one, which I think is, well, they nice. Only do one team for yeah. defensive team, right? So yeah, awesome. Bottom moment, Donovan Mitchell scoring 71 points, gets the Bulls in an overtime loss, 145-134.
That stings.
That one, I can actually put that now. That is probably going to be the worst moment of the season for me. They had that game 1-2 at the end. They were up in that game. They had every chance to win. Donovan Mitchell did step into the lane early off of his free throw attempt. Pat Williams didn't box out, but he was in there early, very early. But still, giving up 71 points to somebody is just – that's just not okay.
Nope.
It's bad for business. So that's a tough one.
Yeah, I can't argue with that one there.
Tough one. So we can pencil that into the top there unless I find something better. Top moment. Zach LaVine stats post All-Star game.
Okay.
Very specific here. Post All-Star game, right? Average 27 points a game, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. Turnovers was really what got me. Now, 2 turnovers for him, I think, average per game is really good, because we were really used to seeing him being very laissez-faire with the ball. You know, very just wasn't tight. And just kind of left it out there and tried to do way too much. And I think post All-Star game, he had a really good stretch there in like early March, right after the All-Star break. Dropped a couple 40s, 40-point games, but 27 points a game,
40s.
5 assists and 2 turnovers. I mean, I think like if that's what you can get from him on a regular basis, right, that makes him worthy, I think, of the contract that he got. Because most guys that are max players, that's pretty close to some of those averages that, you know, a normal non-superstar type max player is getting. So I was happy with that post All-Star performance from him.
Yeah, no, after the All-Star break, he really was balling out and kind of carrying the team. So no, I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Next bottom one, though, is the opposite of that. Zach's slow start, right? So it's the exact opposite of that. And it has to be talked about. It has to be recognized. The first part of that is he missed the first 2 games of the season, right? So he signs the max deal in the summer after kind of dangling, leaving, says he never was, but it was definitely a thought about it. Then he comes out, misses the first 2 games. There was no lead into it. There was no, hey, this might be a thing that's going to happen. It just kind of was dropped on us the day of the first game or
that's
day
right.
before.
Yeah.
And it left a really, really bad taste in my mouth for somebody who was a fan and advocated that we should give him this money. For them not to come out and even tell us anything about what was happening really bothered me. It also really bothered me that he scored 4 points in a loss to Orlando in the 16th game of the season and then had the nerve to come out and say that he shouldn't have been benched at the end of that game, and he was upset about it. So slow start to the season, definitely a negative. But
this is great.
But
that was indeed good.
Good back half of the season post All-Star game. I will give him his flowers for that.
Research, that's just memory, Chris. He just, that was burned into his brain.
Yeah,
that
right.
4-point. Yeah.
That 4-point game was bad.
Yeah, he knows that off the dome right there.
One fact that I just saw with LaVine, this is the most games he ever started in a season in his career, 77. So, way to be healthy.
Hey, that's a good.
Zach. Hey, way to be healthy. Max players got to start games, I guess, right?
Play the max time.
Some of them,
right?
Some of them, I guess.
Max time. Next top moment. The Bulls had 8 wins against the top 3 in each conference.
True.
And a season ago, that was not even close to being the case.
Yeah. Is that 10 wins if you include the Miami Heat?
No, I did not include those. They beat them 3 times.
I remember they were beating Miami, and you're like, that's not a big win anymore. Who cares?
No, no, no. Yeah. It was the game 1 of the season. It was first game. And you guys were like, and let's be honest, for 82 games of that season, them beating Miami was not a big
deal. Yeah, that was not a big deal. But we were pumped at game 1. We were like, yeah.
Yeah. I would have traded them losing game 1 and beating them in game 85 or 84. I would have traded that. Because apparently Milwaukee was gettable this year. But the 10 losses, so they were 8-10 against the top 3 in each conference. The 10 losses came at an average. There was some spread here, but he averaged them all out. An average of like 1 point a game, which is pretty good. They didn't get blown out on national TV like they did 2 seasons ago. They looked respectable when they went out, and arguably they had a worse team this year. There's no arguing it. They had a worse team than they did 2 seasons ago, and they looked better as a whole. Record didn't show it, but I think there were a lot better moments throughout the entire season versus just that flash in the pan at the end of the other season.
Yeah, they definitely, the last season did not look like they were really competitive with the top teams, but this year they showed up for those games. So that was definitely a nice plus to see.
Yeah. Down, Patrick Williams.
With the paw.
And the thing is for me, everybody was saying, hey, he hasn't played. Wait for him to actually get some time, be in the rotation regularly, and you're going to see it come out. And he played 82 games this season. He played in every game this season. He's fully healthy for the entire season. Him and Vucevic were the only guys on the team who did that. And he averaged an increase of 1.2 points per game. So he went from 9 across 17 games 2 seasons ago to 10.2 this season. And from a guy that you need a lot more from him than 10.2. And it wasn't like his average was 10.2 and there were very memorable moments of him being like, wow, remember that 30 point game he had? Or like, you know, he went out and just absolutely torched somebody for, you know, a big number. Never did it. And there were just so many moments
points
where
this,
like,
season was 23.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Come on, B-Will.
There were just some really big dunks. There were some really big defensive plays. Like, there were great moments, but they were so spread about and never came as a total package. They were all just very individual things. And the fact that this guy was your 4th overall pick 1 season and we can't think of a moment that can define him yet as a player across 3 seasons is getting tough for me to swallow. And yep. I think they're going to miss on that one. It's not definitively a miss yet, but I think in the grand scheme of this, in terms of draft picks, this is going to be a big miss for them.
I think so too.
And Chris, if you want to pull up the people that were drafted after him,
I do not think so. You knew exactly what I was doing. Can you see my screen? Or?
I can't, but.
So can I name the guys? Here, I'm just going to name this draft. Should I just go through this draft right now? Edwards, Weissman, LaMelo. And then P. Will, and then Isaac Okoro, Onyeka Okongwu, Killian Hayes, Obi Toppin, Denny Avdija, who's the guy I kind of wanted. Yeah. Jalen Smith, Devin Vessel, Tyrese Halliburton. Yep. Maybe he was the pick, but like that would have been a reach for at Iowa State. Terry Lewis, the junior, Aaron Smith. Okay, who else? Tyrese Maxey at 21. This was a tough draft. Jaden McDaniels. He was a project, really. Desmond Bane at 30. So I don't know, man. Like Patrick, it was a bad draft. I'd argue, is still the best player compared to the next 10 guys after him, except for Halliburton.
Yeah.
So
that may be true. But as a starter in the NBA on a team that needs him to do what he's supposed to do.
I still believe. Good luck with that, Chris.
I believe. All right, number four, positive. This kind of goes with my third up. But so, yeah, they had the 8 wins against 3 teams. But I think we're going to forget about some of the wins against those 3 teams that I want to call out here that I remember very vividly. So they beat Boston by 18 and 14 points.
Nice.
They blew out Boston twice.
Twice. A team that can't beat the 8th seed, but go ahead.
They beat Denver on the road by 21 points.
Oh, the eventual champs.
And they beat Memphis at home in one of the last games of the season by 21 after being down over 20 in that game right before halftime. So they had a 40-point swing in that game against Memphis. And those were some pretty memorable games for me. But the Boston one, solid. They had Boston's number this year.
They really did.
It was really fun to watch. But apparently, like you said, that was a pretty easy number to get your hands on.
I was being sarcastic, but yes, that was. I mean, they did kind of have Boston's number this year. So that was fun.
Yeah. It's like getting a number off a bathroom stall. all right. Another second to last bottom here. The Bulls were last in three point attempts per game at 28.9 and also last in makes at 10.4.
Ooh.
And that ties back into my third point there. Your guy who's supposed to be 3-and-D didn't really help you become a three-part team, but they've got to change that. They have to address that at some point. This is now like the second season in a row of this being a problem, probably more than that if you look back in the past. But in a league that is built around this being your relief valve when you have guys on your team who can shoot mid-range and get to the basket, you have to have that outlet or else you're really easy to play defense against, and the Bulls aren't that, and they have been shown they've been shown to not score a lot of points because they don't make threes and they just lock down in the paint. So fix that. And my last top five for tonight, I didn't expect to put this on here. I didn't think this was going to be the case, but I put the addition of Patrick Beverley.
Oh yeah. You know what?
Wow.
And I was very down on it. I was like, I can't believe we couldn't get Russell Westbrook. Like we're going to get this bum. Like at least Westbrook is like, you know, known for like being somewhat of a good player at some point in his time. But Pat Bev came in and all the things that Chris said about him crying after winning their play-in game, I felt that in my soul. I felt Patrick Beverley when they won their play-in game this season, the first one. I felt all of it. I felt all of his intensity. I loved him telling LeBron that he was too small. Like all the shit that I thought was going to bother me. Like when he came and he did it for us, you know, when he's on your team. When he's on your team, it's perfect. And it's not like it's overdone. I don't know. Like it doesn't seem like when he's doing it against you, you're like, man, this guy's just like a little gnat. It's annoying. But when he's doing it on your team, you're like, oh, he doesn't do too much. It's not too bad.
Yeah. Right.
but they definitely seemed, you know, more put together. Their ends of games were not as chaotic. He is a point guard. He is a true point guard. He handles the ball well. He makes pretty good decisions. He's a good basketball IQ player. And the Bulls didn't have that with Lonzo going down. Caruso is not a offensive IQ player, right? He's not running your offense like you need him to be. They didn't have that, and Pat Bev gave them that when they needed it. And I don't think that they probably held on to that 10 seed if they didn't actually make that move at the end of the season there. So
I think you're right.
Tip the hat to Patrick Beverley. I wouldn't be upset if they don't bring him back next year, but tip your hat for the 15 games he gave us this season.
Great couple of games there, Pat Bev.
Hey, we needed him. It was useful. It was good.
I begrudgingly admit that he was a little bit of a spark. You can let him go at any time because he's a bum, but it's fine.
He can go.
He did his job.
Joey, great list as always. You are a diehard Bulls fan.
I got my last bottom.
Oh, sorry. Last bottom.
I'll go back. My last bottom one, the secret extensions for Billy Donovan and the front office.
Ooh, yeah.
The classic secret extension move.
Over the summer.
Yeah.
The fact that you came into a season when you knew that your potentially most important player wasn't going to be playing for at least half the season, and that half season was extremely optimistic. Like, to me, that was the perfect time to say, hey, listen, Billy, like, this is your chance, right?
Yeah, show us what you're worth.
We're short-staffed, or your players are down. You're not going to have one of your integral guys. Let's see what you can figure out here. Let's see if you can get this team to overachieve based on what they have, and then we'll see if we build around it and, you know, add you. Instead, they gave him an extension and basically said, hey, we don't care what you do. You getting us to the playoffs and getting bounced pretty handily was good enough for us. And we'll just take you down the road for as long as you want here. So again, it was because it was secret. If they would have come out and said, we haven't been to the playoffs in many years, he got us back, we like the culture he's built, I would have been like, okay, cool, fine. You guys are standing behind it, but you did it in secret, which makes me think you're full of shit. Same thing with the AK extension. Yes, he made moves, right? And for years, we as Bulls fans have complained about him, about the Bulls not making moves. They made a splash. They got Vooch, which has now hamstrung them for another season in terms of draft. But they made a move, but you get your flowers, right, for being aggressive and trying to make something work. But you also get held accountable when that thing that you put your nose on the line to make work didn't work.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of owe up for that. And I think, you know, not even just that, but this trade deadline was, to me, the real bad one, where last year you were like, okay, we don't know what's going on with Lonzo. Is he back? Is he coming back? We don't know. Zach, is he coming back? Is he not? What's going on here? So they stayed pretty quiet. This season, they knew damn well Lonzo wasn't coming back. They knew they had glaring weaknesses at, you know, 3-point shooters and, you know, big, good outside players. They knew what they needed. There were guys available and they
didn't. Mike Conley was available. Yeah.
Right. They did nothing. And to me, that isn't worthy of being like, hey, you had a glaring opportunity or hole on your team to fix, and you had the opportunity to fix it and you didn't fix it. Like, I don't know. All of us, if we had that for our jobs, I don't think our bosses would be very happy. If it was like, hey, you know, you suck at this and you had an opportunity to fix it and you didn't fix it, that probably wouldn't go over so well. We wouldn't get, you know, extensions. So that is, for me, my last bottom of this season. But as Chris said, that's a very classic Reinsdorf thing to do. And I will rest my case there.
Rest his case. Again, yeah, I jumped the gun on you there earlier, but man, another great list for Joey, the diehard Bulls fan, and for us, always seeing red, bleeding Bulls. Another tough season, boys, for the for the Bulls. Hopefully, next season will be better. Yeah, we'll see. Anything else for tonight, guys? You guys want to go ahead and wrap this thing up? All right. Well, that is it for us tonight. Join us next week to talk more NBA basketball. Hopefully, we'll be talking about an official finals series matchup. So follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch at The Box Out Boys. Slide in those DMs. Join us live Wednesdays around 8:30. Send us an email to theboxoutboys@gmail.com. And as always, like and subscribe wherever you listen to this at now. We very much appreciate that. So for Chris, Joey, and Adam, I'm Tyson. Until next time, Box Out.